Welcome to Tor Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Malachim Aleph, Perek Yatet, Chapter 19. There's a moment at the end of last Perek where we really think that everything is going to be all right. The nation is shouting, Hashem Hu Elohim, Eliyahu is running in front of Ahav's chariot, accepting his kingship, and the rain is coming. Ahav returns to his palace excited about what happened and tells his wife all about what happened on Har Carmel. Izebel doesn't miss a step. Verse 2, Vatishlach Izebel malach el Eliyahu lemor. Izebel sends a messenger to Eliyahu saying, Kol yasun elokim v'chol yosifun ki ka'it machar asim et nafshacha kin nefesh achad mehem. You should just know that by tomorrow, I swear that tomorrow your life will be like one of those people killed at Har Carmel. Eliyahu is broken. He realizes it didn't work. Ahav's inability to convince Izebel means that she still has power over him, and since she lives with him, she's going to win. It's too much for Eliyahu. He leaves Eretz Yisrael and wanders out to the desert. Once he is there, he stops and lies down under a tree and asks Hashem to take his life. He says, Lo tov anochi me'avotai, I am no better than my fathers. Eliyahu feels that he's failed in his mission. He hasn't accomplished anything that the people before him haven't done. Despite all of his efforts, despite his atomic bomb that actually caused real hardship, despite the miracles at Har Carmel, nothing has changed. Eliyahu has made no impact. At that moment, a malach appears and touches him on the shoulder and tells him to eat. Verse 6, Vayabet. Eliyahu looks up and he sees on his head a cake made on coals and a jug of water. He eats, he drinks, he sits, and he lies down. Notice the verb cluster of all those different verbs that Eliyahu is going through, representing his robotic action. He will eat only because the malach tells him to, but the spirit is no longer in him. He's ready to give up. The malach appears again, and this time leads him on a journey of 40 days and 40 nights until they arrive at Har Horev, which is Har Sinai. There, the malach leads him to a particular spot, a cave, where he has a revelation of God. Vayavo sham el hama'ara, he goes to the cave, vayalen sham, and he lies down there. Vinei dvar Hashem elav, and hears the voice of Hashem come to him. Vayomar lo, and Hashem says, Malach po Eliyahu, why are you here? Eliyahu, Hashem is engaging with him. Hashem wants to know, why are you here, out in the midbar? And Eliyahu responds in verse 10, Vayomer, Kano kineti, Lashem Elokei Tzvakot. I'm here because I'm zealous for Hashem's honor. Ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael have left your covenant. Ez mizbechotecha harasu, they've destroyed your altars. Ve'et nevi'echa haragu b'charev. They've killed your nevi'im with a sword. Ve'ivater ani levadi, and I alone am left. As true to you. And me, vayvekshu et nafshi lekachta, and I'm a hunted man. They're trying to kill me too. Eliyahu declares that I'm here away from society, ready to die, because I am a kana'i, a zealot. Eliyahu cannot live in a place where people are not serving Hashem, even after experiencing the drought and seeing the miracle of Har Carmel with their own eyes. It's not hard to see why this parak is the haftarah for Parsha Pinchas, the story of another kana'i who takes a public stand against people defying Hashem's name. Eliyahu feels alone in his quest for truth and for God and can no longer be part of a society that sins so much. Hashem's response to Eliyahu is unexpected. I'm in verse 11. Vayomer, Hashem says to Eliyahu, Say, go out of this cave. Va'amadata bahar lifnei Hashem. Stand on the mountain before God. V'hinei Hashem over, and Hashem will pass over you. And as this happens, there's a ruach gedolah, chazak, a strong, great wind. Mefarei karim u'mishaber salim. It smashes the mountains and it breaks the rocks lifnei Hashem before God. And then Hashem says, Lo baruach Hashem. Hashem is not in that wind. V'achar haruach, after the wind, rash, there's a tremendous earthquake. Lo barash Hashem. Hashem is not in the earthquake. V'achar harash ish, after the earthquake, there's a tremendous fire. Lo ba'esh Hashem. Hashem is not in the fire. V'achar ha'esh kol tzmama taka. After the fire is a thin voice of silence. Hashem brings out every force of nature and passes it by Eliyahu, heightening Eliyahu's expectation that now he will understand the nature of Hashem through these great forces. But after each the declaration is made, Hashem is not in any of these. Only after these terrifying events are over, there remains a voice of thin silence. The Mitzvah David explains that the Kol Dmama Daka, what it means is, it's a sound, but it's also, at the same time, silent. A paradox. The Kol Dmama Daka is used as a foil to the great sounds of wind, of earthquakes, and of fire. Each one is awe-inspiring. Each one itself can move a person, but they are just that. They're sound. They're fire. They're great movements. But they are not the total encapsulation of what Hashem is. It is only in the paradoxical statement of the voice of silence that Hashem can be found. Something that is and isn't. It's a voice and it's silence at the same time. Hashem can't be contained in the fire of Har Carmel, nor in the wind that brought in the clouds of rain, nor in the drought. These are all manifestations of Hashem's power. But they don't contain Hashem. Hashem is himself a paradox. He is silence and voice at the same time. He is knowable and unknowable. He is transcendent and immanent. The Ruach, the Rash, and the Esh represent justice, harsh rebuttals to a sinful nation. But Hashem is also in silence. He is also in compassion and in mercy. These are all Hashem's attributes, both justice and mercy, at the same time. How is it possible? How can Hashem have two mutually exclusive characteristics? This tests the limits of our human understanding. And Eliyahu learns, as we learn, that what it means to know God is to admit that we really can't understand how these things can work together. Perhaps it is for this reason that the story of Eliyahu here in Perek Yud-Tet parallels the story of Moshe. The 40-day journey, being led to Horeb, to Har Sinai, bringing Eliyahu to a cave, not any cave, but the cave, Hama'ara, that the Gemara identifies with the same Nikra Hatzor, the same crack in the rock that Moshe stood in when Hashem passed his glory in front of Moshe. And in order to truly understand this story, we must look at that story as well. Bnei Yisrael had just done Chet HaEgel. Moshe has asked Hashem to forgive them, and Hashem has agreed. And now, in this crack in the rock, Moshe makes another enigmatic request. Hareini na et kvodecha, show me your glory. The Medrash Rabbah explains that Moshe was asking to see rewards of tzaddikim and punishment to Rasha'im, meaning, explain to me, Hashem, how you run the world. Explain to me why things happen. Explain how things are fair. Hashem responds in Pasuk Yotet of in Shmot, Perek Lamed Gimel. Hashem says, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will pass all of my goodness in front of you. V'karati b'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will call out my own name before you. V'chanoti et asher achon v'richamti et asher arachim. And I am telling you that I am merciful to those I am merciful to, and I have compassion on those that I have compassion about. I alone understand myself. Hashem then says to Moshe, Uri'itim et achorai upanai al yira'u. You can see my back, but you cannot see my face. You can see the impact of my actions, but you can never truly understand my face. As a human being, you will never understand the essence of God. And perhaps that is actually the truth of Hashem's glory, the knowledge that we don't understand. But Hashem does more than that. He puts Moshe in this crack of the rock, the Nikrat Hatzor, and he does pass in front of him. And Hashem calls out as he's passing in front of Moshe, Vayavor Hashem al panav, Vayikra, as he said that he would. Hashem passes in front of Moshe's face, Vayikra, Hashem, Hashem, Kel rachum v'chanun, erach apayim, rav chesed ve'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, nosei avon v'fesha, v'chata'a v'nakei, Lo yinakei, pokeda vonavod al banim v'al bnei banim v'al shleishim v'al rebeim. Hashem articulates these 13 attributes of mercy that we now say in our Yom Kippur davening and our slichot. We are constantly using them when we're praying for ourselves or a community that has sinned. And Rabbi Jonathan Sacks points out that it's not just the attributes of mercy that are mentioned here, but also the attributes of justice. Vinakei, Hashem cleanses, and lo yinakei, and doesn't cleanse. He forgives sin, and yet at the same time, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. How could it be that in the same breath, Hashem is saying that he has compassion, which means that justice is not being served? If you have compassion, you're not punishing for something that went wrong, and that he's just, which precludes compassion. How could they exist simultaneously? Because he's God. And only by Hashem choosing to reveal this to Moshe do we even know about these 13 Midot HaRachamim. Going back to our story, Hashem is asking Elio, why are you here? A Navi's place is to be with the people, to engage them, to push them, to try to get them to change. Elio responds, I can't anymore. I'm a Kana'i, I'm a zealot. The Malbim explains that Eliyahu was expressing frustration. I tried to reach Bnei Israel with punishments and with tests. If that doesn't work, there's no more that I can give them. Hashem responds that there is another side of me, and that's compassion. You're only reaching for the justice side of me, but I'm also merciful. And both are elements of God. How they work together is unknowable. And yet for a Navi, they are both important tools. They are both godly. And Hashem is telling Elio, you are now in the cleft of the rock, the place where I revealed my 13 principles of mercy to Moshe. I explained that I, Hashem, have mercy on people. And I told Moshe to ask for mercy for sinners too. Why have you not explored that part of me? I'm not only one way. Zealotry is the ruach, the rash, and the eish, but I, Hashem, am in the paradox, in the voice and in the silence, in the justice and in the compassion. And that is the job of a Navi. A Navi has to be what the Midrash calls tava kavod ha'av and tava kavod ha'ben. When he's with Bnei Israel, he's only out for the justice. He's out for the honor of Hashem. He's supposed to yell at them. But when he's with Hashem, he's supposed to ask Hashem for mercy. He's supposed to say to Hashem, be compassionate to the people that I just yelled at. And it's incredibly difficult to do this. And Hashem is telling Eliyahu, but you need to, because it's not enough to just be a Kana'i. That's only one side. The other side has to be in equal force, the side of compassion, the side of mercy. Eliyahu hides his face in his cloak out of the awesomeness of Hashem's presence. But in verse 13, Vayhi kishmo Eliyahu vayelet panat ba'adarto, vayetzei, and he goes out, vayamod petach ha'ma'ara, just like Moshe, he stands at the opening of the cave, vihinei elav kol, and he hears another voice. And the voice says to him, malcha po Eliyahu, why are you here, Eliyahu? Why are you still here? Verse 14, Eliyahu answers, vayomer kano kineti la'Hashem Elokei Tzvakot, I'm here because I'm zealous for Hashem. Because they've, Bnei Israel have gone and betrayed your covenant. They have destroyed your altars. They've killed your prophets. And I alone remain true. And they're trying to kill me. Eliyahu does not change his answer one iota. Rabag explains that this is out of anger and frustration at Bnei Israel. He couldn't hear what Hashem was trying to convey to him. Or perhaps it could really be too hard to understand the paradoxical nature of Hashem. Eliyahu is committed to justice, to giving people what they deserve. And maybe, ultimately, that can help him. And maybe Eliyahu is saying that having compassion precludes justice. He simply can't. At this point, Hashem gives Eliyahu three tasks, three people to appoint. Hazael is named as the next king of Aram. Yehu is named as the next king of Malchut Yisrael, and Elisha ben Shaphat is named as the Navi instead of Eliyahu. All three of these people will be involved in the punishment of Bnei Israel, the punishment that Eliyahu craves for them to get. And Eliyahu wants them to be punished, not because he's mean, but because punishing people makes other people not do the same thing. But Hashem is telling him that he who wishes for their punishment cannot be involved in punishing them. It has to be somebody who wishes for them not to be punished. At the word of Hashem, Eliyahu turns and goes back to Yisrael for his final mission. He finds Elisha ben Shaphat, a farmer, plowing his fields. He's plowing 12 oxen in front of him, him holding on to the 12th. Immediately, we are confronted with a person who is nothing like Elio. He's certainly not an experienced Navi. He's not been immersed in holy books and in introspection his whole life. He's a man of the field who plows together with his farmhands. Elio thrusts his cloak on Elisha, a sign of leadership, and walks away, expecting Elisha to follow. Verse 20, Vayazova tabakar. Elisha leaves his oxen, Vayaret achare Elio. He runs after Elio, Vayomer, Eshkena le'avi ule'imi, Elcha acharecha. Wait, let me run and kiss my parents goodbye, and then I will come with you. Vayomer lo, and Elio turns to him, Lech shuv, go back. Kimasitilach, what have I done to you? Elisha understands what's being asked of him, and he is ready to join Elio. He knows that the path will be a solitary one. He is being asked to leave his life as he know it, as he knows it, but not yet. He must first kiss his parents goodbye. Elio, who is of a different world, reacts with disdain. How could a person think about parents when being offered the opportunity to communicate with God? Elisha, you just won the lottery. You don't need to wait a few minutes until you finish your lunch. Ralbag and Matsudat David, however, interpret the phrase differently. Lech shuv, ki me'asiti lach. Elio is saying to him, yes, go back, lech, shuv. Do what you said to do. I support that, because all I have done in my life is now yours. Me'asiti, what I have, lach, is now given to you. Elio will wait for Elisha to say his goodbyes, and perhaps in this we see that Elio really did hear the message of the Kol Dmamah Daka and respects Elisha's way as well. Elisha doesn't only say goodbye to his parents, he makes a whole ceremony of slaughtering an ox, bringing it as a korban, and feeding all the workers who are with them. Only then does he go Elio, leaving society for a time, to train to be a Navi. Elisha represents a different way. He is one of the people. He understands them and their needs. He will be connected to them, even as his role is changed and become their spiritual leader. Perhaps he will never be on the level of Elio, but he will be a different type of Navi, the type, perhaps, that Hashem decided to have for now. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Mishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.